We have come today to lesson 5 of a 6-lesson series entitled Jesus, Savior, Lord, and Example. It is the second version of these lessons that we have taught under this particular title, and where we will be looking today at the first of 2 parts, His love, mercy, and compassion, as we look at Jesus and how we should follow His example. For the last few weeks, we have looked at the idea of Jesus being the greatest teacher, God in the flesh teaching humanity, and Jesus, He confirmed Himself to be a teacher from God. He confirmed Himself to be the Son of God, equal with the Father and the Holy Spirit in nature. Jesus is God, and He did that by miracles of various kinds, including raising Lazarus from the dead. And He eventually would die on the cross for our sins and be raised from the dead Himself, ascending back to heaven and sending the Holy Spirit to the apostles to guide them into all truth. Jesus sinlessly lived according to what He taught. Yes, Jesus had no sin, and He taught perfectly and lived perfectly. We must live according to what we teach, and when we sin, we must be willing to repent of those sins and confess them to God and pray for His forgiveness so that we may go forward and be used as someone who can reach out to people with the gospel. Jesus felt love and compassion for the lost, and we will continue with that theme in just a moment, His love and compassion. We should love those whom we teach as well. Jesus claimed His teaching was directly from God the Father. Jesus claimed His teaching was directly, Jesus appealed to the inspired, the God-breathed, authoritative Old Testament while He was on the earth. That is what He was living under, the law of Moses, as well as the Jews. Jesus pointed all to His final authoritative teaching in the inspired New Testament. That is, given by the apostles and other inspired men. We must submit to Jesus' final authoritative teaching in the inspired New Testament, not the traditions and writings of men and women. Jesus turned common conversations to chances to teach spiritual truths. Jesus let people lead themselves to the truth through questions. We must pray and we must learn how to converse with people so they may be led to the truth. Jesus was not afraid to appeal to divine authority in conflicts. And we must not be afraid to appeal to the Word of God always in conflicts. Jesus often taught with parables, separating eager hearers from hardened hearts, those stories by which spiritual truths were conveyed. Jesus called for hearers to take action, and we must call upon people to obey the gospel today. That is, we must call upon those to take action, and we will do that by the end of our lesson, but that is a long series of points that we covered to some degree in that lesson 4 regarding Jesus is the greatest teacher. And so we come to the lesson today. Jesus expresses love, mercy, and compassion. How Jesus lived His earthly life was based on His love for His Heavenly Father and obedience to His will. That was His primary concern. How must I behave in order to please my Heavenly Father. Because Jesus loved his Father perfectly, he was able to love humanity perfectly as well. While on earth, his love was displayed in compassion and mercy toward others, in meeting their material and physical needs, and we will see that as we go through this lesson. Ultimately, his love was displayed, though, in providing for forgiveness of our sins through his perfect sacrifice. Following his example, we are to love God and one another and show mercy and compassion to each other. And as we do this, we will be directed by God's will rather than our emotional distorted and ideas of love. We will be directed by the divine example and imitating the divine example of love. Loving God by obeying him. Let me start again regarding the first point that we will seek to cover. Loving God by obeying him determines how we should love our neighbor. Look at Jesus and what he said a few days before he died, a couple of days before he died, when he was teaching in the temple amidst much conflict with the scribes and Pharisees, as well as the Sadducees. One of the scribes, Mark 12:28, one of the scribes came and heard them arguing, and recognizing that he had answered them well, asked him, "What commandment is the foremost of all?" Jesus answered, "The foremost is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." The scribe said to him, "Right, teacher, you have truly stated that he is one, and there is no one else besides him. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as himself, is much more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered intelligently, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." After that, no one would venture to ask him any questions. But loving God is the first and greatest commandment, and obeying all that God would have us do, and then loving others is the second commandment that is there, and how we love others will be determined by loving God, by submitting to all that God has said. Jesus loved the Father perfectly, obeying all of his will. John 14 and verse 30, "I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But so that the world may know that I love the Father, and I do exactly as the Father commands me, get up, let us go from here." He says he did exactly as the Father commanded him. And the Father commanded Jesus to love humanity as himself, and that is exactly what Jesus displayed in his life before he died on the cross, even meeting the material needs of humanity, also confirming that he is the Son of God. Jesus loved the lost by teaching them the truth. Again, Matthew 9 and verse 35, Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." Jesus showed that he was willing to teach the truth to the lost, that they may turn to God. But he also showed the compassion for their physical needs. But the physical needs were never placed above the spiritual needs. The spiritual needs were always paramount, that they come into relationship with God, but loving your neighbor as yourself also demands that we care about people in their physical distress. Mark 8 and verse 1, "In those days when there were again a large crowd and they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples and said to them, 'I feel compassion for the people because they have remained with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way. And some of them have come a great distance.' And so Jesus fed them on that day. Mark 1 and verse 40, "And a leper came to Jesus, beseeching him and falling on his knees before him and saying, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.' Moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed." What a rejoicing that the terrible disease of leprosy had been lifted from the man by the power and compassion of Jesus. Jesus showed mercy and compassion by healing others. Matthew 20 and verse 30, "And two blind men sitting by the road, hearing that Jesus was passing by, cried out, 'Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David.' They said to him, 'Lord, we want our eyes to be opened.'" Verse 33. "Moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes, and immediately they regained their sight and followed him." He also showed compassion for the grieving by raising those from the dead at various times. One case in Luke 7 and verse 12, "Now as he approached the gate of the city, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow, and a sizable crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he felt compassion for her and said to her, 'Do not weep.' And he came up and touched the coffin, and the bearers came to a halt, and he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." The dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. What a scene that must have been, raising this son from the dead. And also we mentioned John 11, raising Lazarus from the dead, and there are other examples as well of Jesus doing this. And so the point is that Jesus had compassion on people, from feeding them when they were hungry to healing the blind, the leper, raising the dead, casting out demons, which we didn't look at, from those oppressed by the allies of Satan. But his greatest display of love was dying on the cross for our sins, so that we might be brought into relationship with God. There's no greater blessing that we can have in this life. John 15 and verse 13, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. Matthew 26, 28, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. So Jesus died so that we might be saved from our sins, because no matter how distressed our physical condition may be at any given time, if we are separated from God because of our sins and leave this life in that condition, then we will be separated from God and in eternity, in all misery and distress and torment. And that is the greatest disaster that we can suffer, to be separated from God and away from his presence for eternity. Jesus died so that none of us have to experience that type of separation. We can be reconciled back to God through the death of Jesus by grace, unmerited, undeserved favor through faith. Romans 5 and verse 6, for while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That is, Jesus died for us. And what does that mean? After he died for us, he was raised from the dead and went back to heaven, where he is now. Romans 5 and verse 9, much more then, having now been justified by his blood, that is, freed from guilt by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we will be saved by his life. That is, Jesus in heaven continuing to intercede for us as our high priest, that we might continue to be cleansed by his blood as we repent and turn to him, confess our sins to him, to God through him, as Christians. And not only this, but we also exalt in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Jesus has done everything that we might one day be with God dying for our sins and resurrected and now reigning as King and Priest, continually interceding for us if we are His children. Ephesians 2 and verse 4, but God, even when we were dead in sin, but God, being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that in the ages to come, He might show the surpassing riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not as a result of works, that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. We are saved by grace through faith. We receive forgiveness when faith leads to repentance and baptism. That is when we are raised up from the watery grave of baptism, where we are baptized, immersed in water into the death of Jesus. The old self dies and the new self is raised up out of the water as we trust God to forgive us of our sins through the blood of Jesus. That's what happened in Acts chapter 2 when they heard the gospel and Jesus was proved to be the Son of God. They were commanded, Acts 2 and verse 38, when they said, what shall we do to be saved? Acts 2 and verse 38, Peter said to them, He did not say, bring your babies to me to be sprinkled. He did not say, just ask Jesus to come into your heart and do nothing. He didn't say that. What He did say is, repent. Now that you believe in Jesus, repent. Change your mind about your sins and turn to God, and each of you be baptized, immersed in water, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, in order to be forgiven. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the salvation that the Holy Spirit has brought. And in Acts chapter 8, verse 32 to the end of the chapter, we read also that the eunuch, Ethiopian eunuch, was taught about Jesus, and he confessed that he believed in Jesus as the Son of God. And after he confessed and implied that he repented, he was baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of his sins. So we can read in Acts 2 and Acts 8 that this is how we become children of God through belief. Repentance of sins, baptism, or through belief, repentance of sins, confessing Jesus as the Son of God and being baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. Romans 6 and verse 3, or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? Therefore we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. And we are to continue as Christians when we fall and when we seek to follow the apostles' teaching in the New Testament. We all grow in grace and knowledge, become like Jesus day by day. We often fail and fall short of the will of God and sin, and when we do so, we need to confess our sins to God as often as needed, praying to Him for forgiveness and repenting, turning back to Him, and Jesus will continue, or God will continue to cleanse us through the blood of Jesus. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22, this is what Simon the Christian was told to do after he coveted the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit. Acts 8:22, therefore repent of this wickedness of yours and pray the Lord that if possible the intention of your heart may be forgiven you. 1 John 1 and verse 9, Christians are told if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And this is what we would encourage all to do today in order to become a Christian. And we would gladly help you. We would gladly help you do that before it is ever too late. If you would call, text, or email us, we would be glad to study with you by Zoom ourselves or find others who can study with you or study with us together in your area or study with you separately, whatever is convenient, that you might become a Christian only in the way that the Scriptures teach. And those who are already Christians, let us turn back to God through repentance, confession, and prayer, that we might continue to walk with Him in His truth. We stop here today. Jesus, loving God by obeying Him, determines how we should love our neighbor. Jesus loved the Father perfectly without sin. Jesus loved the lost by teaching them the truth. Jesus showed mercy and compassion by feeding the hungry. Jesus showed mercy and compassion by healing others. He showed compassion for the grieving by raising a son from the dead. Jesus' greatest display of love was dying on the cross for our sins so that the dead in sin might be raised to be in a relationship with God through forgiveness. We receive forgiveness when faith leads to repentance and baptism, confessing that faith in Jesus as the Son of God and being baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. We continue to be forgiven as we repent, confess our sins, and pray that we might have mercy from a loving and merciful God. Yes, Jesus is loving and compassionate. Won't you consider, as soon as possible, before it is ever too late, to become a child of God in the way that the Scriptures teach? And if you are a Christian, won't you consider being restored back to Him, always confessing and turning to Him, confessing our sins and praying as often as needed? We would encourage all to respond before it is ever too late, as today we draw our lesson to a close.